Hello and welcome, everyone. This is Dr. Rita Marie Loscalzo, and we're here for our NEPT. It's basically core content Q&A call. So it's basically a place that we can come to discuss content, to discuss things that are going on in modules, to answer questions or elaborate on things, or just to really geek out on our core content. You know, this is not the place to ask about clients, although if there's a lull and nobody else is asking about core content, you certainly can. And also how some of the content applies. So, you know, if we learned a certain thing in digestion and you want to know how that would apply to how you could use it with one of your clients, then this is a good place to do it. We don't do labs, you know, that's not what these are for, unless you want to ask core content questions about the lab. I think the lab module, for those of you who joined us back in January, should be opening up real soon, because we've been opening them up. I think every 2 to 3 weeks we've been opening up a new module. So I'm excited to have you guys here, and I'm here at your beck and call to answer whatever questions you need answered to discuss. And we could just discuss if you want to clarify things, whatever's up for you. I'm happy to discuss. So the way we do it is there's on your telephone keypad, you can go ahead and do a 2 on your telephone keypad, or a 1 or a 5. It's actually any number from 1 to 5. And you can share whatever you want to share, or an insight that you gained if you were watching one of the core content modules. I know we did one this afternoon where we presented 3 new minerals, so the electrolytes, sodium, potassium, and chloride. And we're almost finished the minerals. Yay. And that module has ended up being over 20 hours long, way longer than I expected. And then I'll just give you a little heads up coming up soon. We've got, we're going to do a live call on digestion. It's an extra bonus I added. It's a virtual retreat day to just finish up a couple of last modules that I've been working really hard on that are just really loaded with endocrinology of all the digestion stuff. And just when I think I'm finished, I find more research and I add it to it. So those we're going to finish up and present on that virtual day. And then any cases or anything at all you want to do and discuss about digestion will be open to. So who has questions? Raise your hand. Who wants to talk about a particular topic? You can just throw out a topic and we can chat about it. So 2, 1, 5, anything you want on your telephone keypad, we'll open up your line. And we also have the chat if you're listening in. You know what I didn't do on the chat was open up. Let's see if I can do that here. I called in on Maestro on a internet line. So I want to make sure I figure out how to get back to that thing. So anybody that wants to do it that way, if you don't want to call in on the phone, I'm going to call in on the, just in case anybody can't get on the phone line, I'm going to call in on the internet line on Join Me, and you can go ahead and type your questions in there as well. Okay, so I'll call in there. Okay. All right. So nobody has questions? Are we going to just hang out and be quiet and do a silent meditation? Nobody has comments? Nobody has things they want to discuss? Laura. Okay, Laura, you're open.
Hey, yeah. Nobody had something about the course content to ask. I had a client question that I was going to ask, if that was okay.
Sure. Nobody's got their hand up, so you get it.
Okay. I was looking. It was actually a client that I saw this morning, and she had brought in her blood work for me to look at. And one of the things that I noticed was her DHEA was really low. And she said that she had cortisol testing done, but she didn't bring it. So I'm not sure because I didn't really get to take a look at that. But she had said that her doctor said that everything was fine, but her DHEA was a little low. And I was wondering, like, when you have clients that have that going on, like, I know we do, like, the pregnenolone drop. And things. Have you ever used the cream
Mm-hmm. That's a good question.
Helpful with people.
You mean the DHA cream? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, because I had put in her information in the blood chemistry software, because mm-hmm. I just had her, like, sex hormones and her thyroid lab, and it came up that her T3 was really low and that her, DHA, it was, like, really low. I'm trying to look it up here. I mean, it was, like, extremely low. Yeah.
And this is all blood, I'm assuming, right? It was all blood chem.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so, you know, there's a lot of ways that you could supplement. I've liked the sublingual just because it's easy and you can control the dose really finely, right? You can do one drop and give them 1.2 or 1.5 whatever milligrams versus oral, you know, tablets and capsules are usually anywhere from 5 to 25. And it's hard to find the 5s. Most of them are 25, which I think is way too high a dose because it does that negative feedback loop and can suppress somebody's own functioning. Now, as far as the creams, though, I mean, the creams are highly effective when you use them topically, like vaginally, for postmenopausal vaginal dryness. It can be really awesome for stuff like that. And also for libido. It does a really good job of increasing libido when you apply it that way. I'm not a big fan of applying hormone creams to the skin just because the skin tends to get resistant to it after a while. You have to keep moving around and you try it here, you try it there, but the skin tends to get a bit resistant to it. So I tend to like to use transmucosal hormonal application. So if you have a cream, instead of applying it to the wrists or behind the knees, you can apply it to the vulva or you can apply it to the anal mucosa. And that tends to get absorbed and they need much less of a dose that way.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah, is that what the doctor had recommended?
No, they had, well, they put her on an oral DHEA and she wasn't getting any benefit from that at all.
What were her symptoms?
She was having just a lot of fatigue, weight gain around the middle, just noticing like less energy. She recently found out that she has celiac disease, and when I took a look at her medications and things that she was on, I noticed that she was on levothyroxine, and we looked up the brand, and it did have gluten in it.
Mm.
So I did recommend that she talk to her doctor to get off of that, and she did. She mentioned that, and it was really funny because I guess her doctor said, wow, I wasn't aware of that. This girl that you're working with must have really done her research in that area.
Yay!
I was all excited. I was like, yay! So,
yay.
But I was kind of disappointed because he switched her to a gluten-free levothyroxine off of the one that had gluten, but I was hoping that they would do something more like a
Nature's Right
or something that had T3 and T4. Yeah.
And she said her T3 was low, because if her T3 is low, that's a thing to bring up to the doctor as well, to say, hey, my T3 is low, I'm not converting. And can you give me some T3?
Yeah, that's exactly what I talked to her about today, because that was low, and I was like, we really need to look at this, because I don't think the levothyroxine is doing what we want it to do to kind of help.
Well, it's doing what it's supposed to do, right? It's supplying T4.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I mean, it's doing what it's intended to do. It can't do anything else. I mean, that's all it can do. But it's her body that's not able to process that and convert, and then it's getting at why, right? Why is she not able to convert it? Does she have some specific nutrients? Does she have a lot of stress? So it's really like anything else. It's always the unraveling that we do, but the art of this is determining, like, where do you start with somebody to try to get their buy-in so that you can get some symptom relief pretty quickly so that they're excited to keep going. But it's just this, mm-hmm. it's this complex web of all these little things, right? So her DHEA is low. Her sex hormones might be a little bit low. Well, what about her adrenals, right? Is this whole thing based on the fact that her adrenals wiped out and she doesn't have enough pregnenolone? I mean, they generally don't test pregnant alone. I rarely test it either, but you can supplement it because it's a precursor and it gives, it's like giving the building blocks versus giving, you know, the fully formed vehicle.
Yeah. And we had a big talk about adrenal fatigue and addressing that, because when I saw that all of our sex hormones were low and the DHEA was low, even though I don't have any, you know, cortisol testing done like salivary, I was like, it's pretty safe to say that we could use some adrenal support. So I just told her that the next session I really felt like we just needed to talk about stress and stress
yep.
reduction techniques and teacher heart math and all of that. So we have that planned for her next session.
Good.
But,
good.
Yeah, I was
yeah.
kind of curious because I noticed that was something that had come up. It's really cool, that blood chemistry software that we have access
yep.
to.
Yeah.
And I just noticed that one of the recommendations that came up was a DHEA cream, but I had thought, is that something that, you know, she had mentioned, I'm taking this pill and I don't really notice any difference, and the cream had come up and I was kind of like, I don't know if I should suggest that to her or not at this
yeah.
point.
You know, we always find out what dose too they're taking when they give them to them, because I'm a little bit nervous about suppression when they give them larger doses. So the cream you can control, well, you can control a liquid, but with a capsule, you know, unless you're going to have somebody open them up, which can be, you know, not a real fun thing to do, you're not getting, you can't really control it, and really is hard to find 5-milligram capsules. Most of them are 10 or 25, and that's a huge dose for a woman to be taking,
yeah.
and you run the risk of acne and other kinds of, you know, androgenic kinds of responses. So, yeah, and it's always looking at the whys, right? You always want to look at the whys and the wherefores, right? So she's celiac, and she's recently diagnosed with celiac maybe, or she's not recently diagnosed, but she's been on gluten unbeknownst to her because of her medication. She's not allowed, had the time to allow her gut to really heal. So that's got to be a big part of it. You know, people can be off of gluten for a whole year before the gut actually heals enough to see big differences. So that's another thing to be looking at.
First session, and this is so good, like asking questions, because like she told me I have celiac, and I asked. I was like, so are you 100% gluten-free? She was like, oh, for the most part, but like occasionally I'll have a cookie. And I was like, oh, God. So we did a lot of education about like, no gluten, like none.
Right.
So
yeah, so when she
like,
says, oh, sorry. Go ahead, finish.
Oh,
and
I was telling her, like, look, like less than an eighth of a teaspoon of gluten can cause detrimental issues to your health and to your gut lining and things. So we got really clear on that, and she at least, like, took that out. But the big thing, like the big barrier, and this is interesting to me, and I don't know how to say this in a nice way to my clients, but I had like 3 clients this week tell me, you know, they're trying to do an elimination diet. They're trying to go gluten, dairy, sugar-free, at least start there. And they're like, oh, well, I was visiting my family and I didn't want them to cook special for me. So I just told them like not to worry about it. And I just do the best that I can. And I kind of feel like saying like, I've been doing this for over 3 years. Like, I can travel, no problem. Like, it is possible
yeah,
to do this, but
totally.
They feel like that's such a barrier, and it's really, like, they don't want to hurt other people's feelings, and I'm trying to get them to be like, look, this is your health. Like, how do you, without
yeah.
saying it, like, in a mean way, like,
yeah, you don't want to say it in a mean way, but yeah, you have to get it across to them. And I just tell them, you know, this stuff is poison to your body. And if you really want to get better, the only way is complete abstinence for a while, let yourself heal. And then you want to go back and test it, you can. But right now, she's not even healed enough to be able to test and get a good sense of how it's affecting her, because she's got these little low doses there. She hasn't been away from it long enough to actually get the response she would by having a little bit introduced if she'd been away for a while. So I think it's really a matter of, you know, you don't want to hurt people's feelings, and just turn it around to them and say, you know, if somebody came to visit you at your house and you knew that they were very, very allergic to something. And would you think it was an inconvenience for you to make sure that none of their food had that in it? Because it's, you know, when you turn it around, people go, of course not. Or if you have somebody who's diabetic and they say, I can't have even a lick of sugar because it'll throw my insulin off. I can't have any of it. Right? Then you'd be careful. You'd respect it. So they just need to be able to ask of others and know that it's not a big deal. And if it is a big deal for some of those people, oh, well, it's their problem, not, you know, it's really, really super important. It's not like she's just going over there and saying, well, I don't really like chicken. I'd rather have turkey, right? That's different than saying I'm deathly allergic to chicken. I need to have something else instead. And they don't get how important it is. So really reinforcing the whole, you know, just a breadcrumb can create that problem. Mm-hmm. Just a little breadcrumb. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are studies that show that, right? One crouton falls into the salad. You pull it out, and then you eat the salad. If you're really seriously gluten intolerant, that's going to set you off.
Yeah.
The nun that Tom O'Brien talks about, right? How she was completely gluten-free as far as she knew, and he was pulling his hair out, and then they figured out that she was taking communion once a week. And that was what was causing her to have a problem.
That was fascinating to me. And, oh, my gosh, Dr. Reedemarie, I have a client who's doing that. And I looked at her genetics, and based off of her genetics, you know, she has the HLA. We know she's gluten sensitive. Mm. And I was like, I mentioned to her, I was like, you have to be careful about communion. And she said, well, I just truly believe that I have to have this, and I need this right now. And I'm just trusting that, like, basically, like, my faith is going to, like, it's not going to be an issue, and I'm going to, like, look at everything else first, and then if I'm still fit, come back to this. And I had to kind of respect her religious beliefs on that. But
there are, they can ask for gluten-free communion. They have access to that.
Yes. And I mentioned that to her, she was just kind of, I guess you just do the best you can, I think. I don't know, because I just...
And, you know, I think the comment, yes, do the best you can, and sometimes the best you can isn't good enough. So if you're doing the best you can and the results are not what you feel like you need them to be, like she starts taking the DHEA and she's still tired, she's saying it's not working. And maybe that the DHEA is working just fine, but there's other things working against it, like the gluten. Like the leaky gut. Yeah, and you don't want to make people think they have to be perfect, but if they're sick and they're trying to get rid of symptoms, for a while there, yeah, you got to be perfect. And then you can test the waters to see how imperfect you can be.
Yeah.
And you, to protect yourself, right, so that they know that you know what you're doing, you make sure you're really clear with it right from the start. That you're not giving them approval to, quote unquote, do the best you can. You're warning them. It's fine if you're going to do the best you can and you're eliminating a lot, but it may not be enough. And from my experience and from what I've read and the cases I've read, it's possible that you're not going to get the results and you're going to be spending a lot of your time and money on therapeutics to try to reverse this, but it's a simple thing like that. So what I'd recommend is let's see if you can go a solid week of being, you know, or whatever length of time it is between visits, between now and the next time I see you.
Yeah.
Let's just do it 100% and see.
And by doing the best that I can, I didn't mean them, I meant me.
Oh,
like,
you.
Like me just telling them, like, okay, we'll just be aware that, and like, giving them all the information that, like, by continuing to, you know, there's gluten in communion and in the host, and by continuing to eat that can be problematic. And I'm like, well, I told her, and I gave her all the information. I actually even told her that story about the nun who kept getting sick.
Yep.
Even just on that little bit once a week, and I don't know. I'm just like, well, I did my part.
You are doing the best you can, and that's all you can do. We can't go home with them. We can't be in their back pocket, and, you know, we can't. we just have to do our best in giving them, but you can't withhold information either. If you really think that there's something they're doing that can be compromising them, you explain it to them. Like, I can't guarantee the results. Like, my lady one time, she came to see me diabetic, bad diabetic, like, you know, numbers in the 200, uncontrolled. And I put her on program and I had her do some, you know, some green smoothies and cut back the fruit and cut back on the grains and all this stuff. So she comes in a couple of weeks later and she said, this diet just isn't working for me. I went, oh, really? Let's talk about it. Yeah, I'm drinking those green smoothies in the morning. And I said, okay, great. And what else are you doing? She says, well, you know, and then for lunch I have the chicken nuggets at McDonald's. And then for dinner, you know, then I stop in the afternoon because I get hungry. So I have to stop for water, but I don't want to just get water at the HEB. So I go in and I get whatever else she gets. And I looked her in the eye and I said, that's not the diet I gave you. That diet won't work. Mm-hmm. And she went, well, I'm drinking the green smoothies in the morning, as much as I don't like them. I'm like, oh, this is a case where I wished that I had just taken her like one visit at a time. I hadn't signed her up for a package because I just was like, I don't want to work with this person anymore. You know, it's like she's blaming me for my diet doesn't work. I'm like, honey, you're not on my diet. We don't have chicken nuggets on my diet. So it's like you do the best you can and it's up to them. And, you know, we work really at, you know, changing the way we speak to people and to really, because we want to empower them. And there's, you know, there should be some fear in there because, you know, I don't like to motivate people by fear, but it's like if they're not a little bit nervous about their symptoms coming back, they're going to push the envelope.
And it's funny that you brought that up because I just, after talking to you on that last call, changed my health coaching agreement to you can have a one-time visit, and then after that, you need to do a health coaching package. And as kind of part of that, setting boundaries and not taking emails and things unless they're on a health coaching package and committed. Right. And I'm excited, but I'm a little nervous because I feel like, I don't know if that's a financial money block or what that is, but like I've noticed that with my clients when I bring that up, because my old thing was I could do 3 single visits and then they would have to do a package. And after the 3rd visit, like they just fell off. Like they wouldn't commit to a package. They wouldn't. And so now I'm trying this and we'll see what happens, but I'm a little
I think the one is good because on the one, you can create a lot of anticipation and you can say, oh, and when we're working together, we run this test and then we're going to work on this. And you're kind of laying out the pieces. You have to make sure that you're really clear and giving them like this vision of where it's going. And they don't want to drop off because they're going to miss out on something.
That's a good suggestion. Yeah.
Yeah. Because when you do one visit and then another visit and then another, they're in control, not you.
Yes. And that's what's happening with, I mean, I'm not really implementing that with the clients that I had at the very beginning. I update my health coaching agreement and it's kind of like the new people coming in. That's what we do.
Right.
It is. I'm just noticing like the clients that I've had from the beginning, I see them, some come in once every 6 months.
Oh, great.
And they're
yeah.
not getting the results that they wanted. And I'm like, well, yeah.
Well, of course not. Yeah. And I think it's important that you explain right from the start, here's how I work. It's kind of like this, right? And what I found when I was working where people would just come in when they felt like they wanted to come back in and they needed support, they usually went way beyond when they really needed support. They'd fallen off the wagon and they found that the results are just not as good. And when I have people that are coming in and they've signed up for a package or a 6-week package, a 3-month package, a 6-month package, whatever it is, and we're actually working on stuff. And even so much, you might want to go back to a presentation I did as part of the digestion that I did it. And I also did it as part of the insulin resistance where I did this thing where it's like create a program that you're offering them. It's not just you're going to come in and we're going to talk and I'm going to tell you what to do and we're going to move out. That there's actually almost like a curriculum that you're following with them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It may not be like on visit one you're going to do this, visit two, because it may take longer for some people to get to it. But first, we're going to look at this. Then we're going to look at this. We're going to look at your fats because fats are involved in inflammation. Inflammation is involved with everything. I'm going to overhaul your fats. We're going to see if your fats are working for you. If not, we're going to overhaul them. If they are, great. I may give you some extra recipes that you can make sure that you keep them up to speed. We're going to look at the underlying cause of your inflammation. Maybe you've got some nutrient in deficiencies. We're going to look at those. We're going to look at your digestion, right? And you're just telling them the things that you're going to look at. And it feels like really comprehensive. It feels to them very safe because they know, wow, she knows what she's doing. She's not going to, I'm not just going to go in and say, hey, I ate this and I didn't do well with it. What should I do instead? She's got a plan. She's taking me through it. You know, it may take one person 3 weeks to go through that plan. It may take another person 3 months. But you've got a plan and you've got their back and you have these lessons. And I gave even a sample of that, of what those lessons could be.
Yeah, I will go back and look at that. That was really helpful. I tried to base my packages around that too.
Yeah. And don't be afraid to just stay in control. You want to listen to them. You want to move and flow with them and dance with them. But you've got to maintain that control. Because otherwise, they're going to be like, you think they're going to, you got to work on the digestion. But every time they come in, they want to talk about something else. And then you spend the whole time talking about that something else, and you never really get to the digestion.
Yeah.
It might even help to have it as a checklist. Like have all the topics that you're going to go through. And at the very beginning, for some of them, you may say, oh, you're already doing this, right? We're going to check that one off already. Oh, you're already doing this one. We're going to work on this. This is where we're going to go next. And this, so they know. And then you check it off, and they know that they've got through stuff. And if it's 3 months and you haven't gone through it all, you say, you know, it took a little longer because there was, you know, you had this wedding to go to and you had this and that and the other thing happening. And so I think we need to just sign up for another 6 weeks so that we can get through the rest of this.
Okay. That's helpful. Thank you. That takes a little bit of the fear away. I feel like I'm taking a leap of faith right now. So it's like, okay.
Yeah. Well, no, because you've got a plan now. You've got a plan. Yeah. You know, there's stuff you're going to, that everybody, that if assuming you take somebody off the street, right? They're eating Twinkies and drinking Coke and going to McDonald's and they have no clue. There's a process you're going to take that person through to help introduce the concepts and get them changed. So you have that listed. And then for the ones that come in and already they're drinking green juice, you go, oh yeah. You know what you should look at? In my, I think it's in the energy recharge thing. I have this, let me see if I can find it. I have this thing I call the Vibrant Health Roadmap. And one side of it is this roadmap of things that you're going to go through. And the other side is a checklist. It's just the diet pieces, I think. It may not be everything, but you can get an idea from there and be able to expand on that and have this checklist of all the things you're going to go through with them. And they're going to feel good because, you know, oh, check, okay, check, okay, check. They're going to want to check all these things off. Because, you know, most people like checking things off, don't they? I mean, it's like, yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm clicking on it now. I'm going to see if I can just put the link in the chat to this document. Roadmap resources. Roadmap to recharge. I think it's there. I'm going to be updating this roadmap thing and giving it out at our Spring into Vitality conference and getting people started on filling out their roadmap. Here we go. Vibrant Health Roadmap. I have it in a PDF doc. I also made it in a Word doc that lets you edit it. So let me see. Let me see if this has both sides to it. Yeah, front and back. Here, I'll give you the link. Then I'll give you the link to the other. I'll put it in the chat. Oh, page one.
For whatever reason, my computer is being weird, and I know it's just my computer. I'm probably going to have to restart it. I can't get in the chat right now, but maybe.
Oh. I'll put it here, and maybe Lynn can put it on the NEPT Facebook group. if you can get in there.
Okay,
so that's the front and back. And I'll put it on, we gave these out at the last retreat as well. We kind of, you know, as something you can use to work with your clients on. Let me see if I save the Word doc. I think if I just do left click, let me go here. So I right click it. And I go copy link address, and I'll stick that in there. Yeah, it might have been in the binder. Yeah, I'm not sure. I know that we had one of these for the practice roadmap, but I don't know. So I just put both of those in there, and you guys can look at that. And I'm going to be having it prettied up a little bit. But it's a really just a nice little checklist. And the checklist does have, so it's like things that they're going to do. So if you look at the checklist on here, it's got nutrition. It's a whole section on nutrition stuff. Then it's got a section on exercise and stress management, sleep, and general stuff. And so stuff to be teaching them and things you want them to get to. And it's like something that they're going to be aspiring to.
Yeah, that'll be really helpful. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, cool. All right. Well, good questions. It looks like Maria might have some questions in the chat. So... cool. Maria asked, can you elaborate on specific fats, Krebs cycle, and impact on ATP energy? That's several questions. So you want specific fats on how they have, I think I need a little bit more specific on that because I could just go on and talk for 2 hours on each of those topics. So what do you specifically want to know? Let's see. What are the best fats? Okay, so fats, best fats. So we've got our essential fats, we have our omega-3s, and we do that in the macronutrients module. I don't know if you've gotten to the macronutrients module yet, and we have a whole section on fats. So fats are... we have the essentials, body can't make them. They're the only ones that we can't make. That's linoleic and alpha-linolenic, omega-3 and omega-6. So we have to have those daily. But most people eat too much 6 and not enough 3. And the 6s can convert to inflammatory markers. Okay? So for inflammation, you want a really good balance of omega-3 to 6. So you don't want to have too much. You don't want to have it more than 3 times. You could have a 3-to-1 ratio of 6 to 3, but no bigger than that. And in that module, I give you a spreadsheet where you can actually put in the fats, like I had 3 ounces of hemp seeds and 2 ounces of almonds and, you know, this much fish or whatever. And then it comes up with what your ratio really is. So you want a really good ratio there for controlling inflammation. Well, for inflammation affects everything, right? It affects thyroid function, adrenal function, gut function, kidney function, cardiac function, blood sugar, everything. So that's that there. Now, the other fats are optional, but you need to have enough of the essentials to be able to convert to them. So we usually incorporate those into the diet. So there's the monounsaturated fats, which the body can convert and make from the polyunsaturates, the omega-6-3. And those are things like avocado and olive and macadamia nuts have a lot of monounsaturates. They've found to be protective for cardiovascular function. So those are good fats to have. There's medium chain triglycerides, which are found in coconut oil and palm oil and things like that. And they have very therapeutic effects in helping to heal the gut and also helping with brain chemistry. You know, so those are your overall fats. You want to make sure that you're not doing, and then there's saturated fats, of course. And saturated fats have a bad rap, like, oh, they're bad, they're cardiovascular disease, but not necessarily. It depends on the type of saturated fat and the quantity. And if you go back to that macronutrients module, we'll talk a little bit more about a brief look at the testing. And then we have another module in the immune, when we get to the immune, which is going to go through the testing. Like, how do you actually test fatty acids? And how do you know what people's ratios are? And how do you manipulate that? And how do you know what cofactors they may need? So really good, there's a really good video. I don't know if you've watched it yet, but it's in, I think it's module 4. I don't remember the numbers of the modules anymore, but it's definitely, let's see, module three, macronutrients. So that should already be open to you. And in the macronutrients, there's a whole thing on fat, and I think it's like the anti-inflammatory fat and inflammation, fat and brains. So there's all that sort of stuff. So is that what you were looking for? Yeah, on fat, I think there's like three videos. Ouch. Yeah, so macronutrients, look at fat structure and function. And then there's managing inflammation and dietary fats with that. Let's see. Let me see if any hands are up here. Okay. Let me look again to see. I thought that there was a subcategory of fats that impacted the Krebs cycle and ATP conversion. You know, there's things like lipoic acid. I mean, there's not a particular fat in there, but if we bring up our module on that would be module two, right? Cellular metabolism, yeah. And there's some really cool pictures in there that you can look at for the Krebs cycle. And if we look at cellular metabolism, there's only one video in there, I think. And if I look at the slides for that, ouch. There's a picture. Krebs cycle. There we go. Let's see. That's a short one. There's some good ones in. Yeah, you know, you've got a lot of B vitamin activity in your Krebs cycle. And carnitine, which shuttles fat into and out of that might be what you're thinking about. The carnitine that shuttles fat into and out of the mitochondria. And fats get converted to energy, but pretty much any fat can go into the Krebs cycle and be converted to energy. The keto acids, basically. Yeah, so there's not particular fats, but fatty acids in general. Let's see. Beverly, what is the drop-dead date to be able to sign up to go to the retreat? Cousins? Needs keep increasing. Now he's going through 7 weeks of radiation, is having a tough time, so I don't know what point I'll be able to go. Well, you know, it's the sooner the better. The hotel needs to know the numbers for the room, but there's not really we're not really serving food. So, you know, they will hold our special rate, I think it's like the first week in May. So after that, then you have to pay whatever the going rate is for the hotel. So, you know, if you know by the end of April, that would be good. And again, with flights is the other thing. That would be, you know, the sooner you can get flights, the more likely you are to get a good rate. Yeah. Okay. Any other questions? You just raise your hand with any number from 1 to 5. If you don't have questions about particular modules and you want to ask a question about a particular client or how a particular learning applies, you know, so if you've got somebody who's dealing with, if you've got somebody who's dealing with inflammation, really important is working with the fats and B vitamins and magnesium and really studying the charts that I gave you in that fatty acid, the fats, managing inflammation with dietary fats, really understanding that. I practically have that chart in my brain, and I see it when I start to look at people and discuss with people, and I'm thinking about what nutrients they may be out of balance with. Because there's an enzyme called delta-6 desaturase that will convert your short-chain omega-6s and 3s, like linoleic and linoleic acid, into your longer chain like GLA and EPA and DHA. And those are the ones that actually have the metabolic function in the body. And that enzyme tends to be sluggish, mainly, in my opinion, because most people are deficient in those cofactors. There's, you know, there's the B vitamins, and a lot of people are eating refined foods and are under a lot of stress, so they're depleting their Bs. There's magnesium, and a lot of people are not getting enough green leafy vegetables and bringing enough magnesium in. There's zinc, which is a very common deficiency. So all of those are really important. And when you look at somebody and they're having a lot of problems with inflammation, fats are super important. Yeah, ginger and turmeric and herbs are important, but really going down to the basics of, are they getting their basic vitamin and mineral needs met so they can actually do those conversions? Anything else? All right. Well, if we don't have any other questions, I will just make it an early evening. We've been 45 minutes, so that's fine. And I'll see you next week. We don't have any calls because it's a short week for me. I'm leaving town on Wednesday to go to a conference. So I don't think we have any NEPT calls next week. And then the following week we do. We do have, for those of you who qualified for the bonus of having the retreat on Saturday, the create a food class retreat, that's on Saturday. So you'll be getting an email if you qualified. I think it was a full pay bonus. And I'm basically going to take you through the steps of how to set up a food class, not only in your own kitchen or at a location, but then how do you broadcast that over the internet so you can get people around the country, around the world. That was something that came out of a need for me, that so many people were saying, oh, you're doing that class, and I really wish I could come, but I live in California and I'm not going to fly out for one evening. And then so we sent out a poll, and we said, if we did these classes and we broadcast them online, would you come, and how much would you be willing to pay? And we asked anything from $10 up to $50, and you know, a few people said $10, that would be the max they'd be willing to pay. A lot of them said 20, a lot of them said 30, and a couple said 50. So we priced them, like early bird's price was $20, and then I think it was right before was 27 or 25 or something. And we started doing them. And instead of being able to get like 15 or 20 people in a room to take a class, we'd start to get 150 to 200 people taking the class remotely. And so it really was very helpful. But there's a little nuance to it. There's the technology, and you guys are involved with the ones that I do now, the monthly Vital Healing Kitchen shows. So we have it nailed. We know how to do it. So I'm going to teach you how to do it, and then we're going to lead right in to the Healing Kitchen show that we have on Saturday. So I will have a second camera that I'll be going in and showing you the setup. So we'll be like, it's like the behind the scenes. So you'll see, you know, Scott usually does the setup of the whole thing and sets up the cameras. So you'll see us set up a camera. You'll see how we position it in the room. And then you'll get to watch the show after having had that behind the scenes look. And plus I'll give you, you know, checklists and resources and what kind of platforms are available for you to use. Some of them are free, some of them are cost, and just what to expect in doing that. The advantage of doing it when there's no real audience is you don't have to feed them. Laura knows because she does her classes, you have to make sure you have enough food to feed all the people in the room. When there's nobody there except the people that are filming you and all the people are remote, they don't get to eat it, which is unfortunate, but you don't have to make so much. You don't have to really go like counting out and getting the little serving cups and all that. But we'll talk about those kinds of things as well, because it's important if you are doing them. And you can do it both ways. We did that for a long time. We'd have like 20 people in the room, but then we'd have, you know, another 100 or so, or 150, 200 that were watching remotely. And then we'd create a recording, which can become a product for you. And you can sell that product on your website. Or you can use it as a bonus if you do a bigger product and you sell a 3-month health coaching program, you could have a bonus of this food class. Like for Laura, who does a lot of them live, you can't give that to somebody as a bonus for signing up for your 3-month program. But what if you could? You know, what if you had your various classes filmed and you could say, oh, as a bonus, I'm going to give you these two classes for you to watch. That would be really nice because people like bonuses and it helps them to make a decision. It also helps when you have bonuses, when you're doing a coaching package that includes your time, your one-on-one time, the thing you don't want is people to be calculating how much you're charging per hour of your time. Because what they don't see is the behind the scenes time. So if you create a package for them and it includes like 6 1-hour coaching sessions, they think 6 hours and you're charging them $1,000 for that while you're making $150, $175 or whatever an hour, and they're making $10 an hour and they feel weird about it. But instead, if it's 6 hours of your time, you know as well as I do that looking at the labs and analyzing their questionnaires and all that takes hours and hours of behind the scenes time. And we kind of call that case analysis time. So we say that this package includes case analysis time, plus we give them digital stuff that really bumps up the value of what they're getting. And so they can't be doing the numbers anymore, right? You might do the numbers to figure out what your minimum and maximum are, you know, your minimum amount that you're willing to get per hour and your desired amount, and then you can price your classes accordingly. So, questions? Any other questions? Comments? All right. Well, go and have a great time. For those of you who are coming on Saturday, we'll see you on Saturday. And then for those of you who aren't, we'll see you in about a week and a half. We'll give you an opportunity to do some more modules and get caught up and we just did the 3 minerals this afternoon. So if you haven't been that, just click on the link in your email and you should be able to see the recordings from that. The way that it was set up is there's a recording, that's video, and then there's a Q&A and then a recording that's video and a QA. And then there's one that you'll see the slides moving, but there's no sound on. You can skip that one. I'm going to see if I can get that one to not be there, because I got muted and I was speaking, but nobody could hear me, so I had to re-record it. So it's all there. It's about an hour and 15 minutes or something's worth of recordings there. So I'll open up everybody's lines so you can all say goodbye to each other. Mike, let's see. Bye-bye,
well.
Everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Love to you all.
Welcome. Love to you, too.